genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
You're listening to the Steve Gruber Show. I'm Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter, filling in today for Steve. Joining us on the other end of the line is Jordan Lofthouse. He is a research and policy analyst for Strata, a think tank at Utah State University in Logan, Utah. Thanks for joining us on the program today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, you have just authored a piece of literature here called The Failure of Big Government Environmentalism. I've got the executive summary in front of me here, this report. Now, tell us a little bit about this, because this has to do with when government gets involved in environmental policy and then things go awry.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So in this report called How Good Intentions Backfire, we're really looking at why not only just laws in general, but these large-scale environmental laws go wrong. Even if it seems to be the purpose. I mean, everyone wants clean air, everyone wants clean water, but sometimes the actual outcomes from these laws can be kind of harmful, and so we wanted to know how and why that happened.
Okay, so let's take a look at, let's say, I don't know, the clean power initiative that Barack Obama has, where he's gradually phasing out coal-fired plants. So we're getting rid of our dependence on fossil fuel. What are the negatives to going down that road?
You know, I mean, it's hard to say specifically what's going to happen with any specific law. I mean, foreseeing things for me and for anyone is actually pretty hard. I mean, the problem with making laws in the first place is that politicians and bureaucrats aren't all-knowing or all-powerful. So even with the best of intentions, they can end up creating laws and regulations that have these negative side effects. So that's the problem, is I can't foresee exactly what's going to happen, and neither can the politicians and bureaucrats.
So what are some negative side effects? What happens when you start putting in place the Wilderness Act or the Clean Air Act or the Clean Water Act?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So when you combine the fact that you have politicians and bureaucrats that aren't all-knowing, and then you also throw politics in the mix, I mean, you have people who are trying to, you have politicians trying to keep their jobs, trying to maximize their power. When you put this all together, you end up with these policies that have strange little parts in them that can end up spurring problems. For example, sometimes these laws don't have cost tracking mechanisms, so we don't actually know how cost effective they really are. We're just guessing.
Okay. So what you're saying is that taxpayers end up being put on the hook unexpectedly for programs that maybe they didn't think were going to cost the kind of money that they end up costing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when laws are put on the books, I mean, it's pretty interesting to look at how these laws actually work. People just assume that the Clean Air Act or Clean Water Act just magically cleans smog out of the air or cleans sludge out of the water. I mean, there are very distinct ways that the laws end up working at, like, the actual political mechanisms, and those are the things that can create these unintended consequences.
Now, you also write in here that the government's track record on these programs have also resulted in wildfires and insect infestations. Explain how we get from point A to B on this.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's actually one of the outcomes from the Wilderness Act. So in the Wilderness Act, we set apart certain areas of land that we thought we wanted to keep undeveloped. We wanted to keep that wilderness fill to them into the future. But the problem with that is the Wilderness Act actually limits active management. And when you take humans out of the equation, when you don't let them actively manage their land, that lets the forest grow overly dense. And when that happens, it's easier to start wildfires and easier to spread insect infestations. So that's one way that the Wilderness Act has kind of backfired in some circumstances, in some wildernesses. We're actually making the places we love worse off.
We're speaking with Jordan Lofthouse. He is a research analyst at Strata, a think tank at Utah State University in Logan, Utah. He's just recently authored a report, The Failures of Big Government Environmentalism. Another I guess, consequence to government getting involved in environmental policy, right, has to do with $80 million acres of private property declared as wetlands and 590,000 lost jobs. Talk about the lost jobs, first of all, and then we'll go into the wetlands.
I think that's just kind of a problem with government laws in general. But when we're talking about environmental laws, laws make things more costly. When you make things more costly, business owners, you know, have a higher overhead, which means they can't hire as many people. So especially with environmental laws, they make things more costly and people lose jobs. It's just a trade-off that politicians are willing to make.
And then as far as the wetlands argument here, private property be declaring wetlands, what's the downside to that?
So under that, under the Clean Water Act, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres of private land has been declared wetland. And when areas are declared wetland, the federal government then has authority over that land to decide how it's used. So it's really a private property rights issue. If your land happens to be declared a wetland, then you can't use it in all the ways that you might have wanted to. So then it ends up being a huge legal battle for thousands of people across the country who just happen to live on this fairly arbitrarily designated wetland.
And then one of the other things that you point out is these taxpayer bailouts for failed, quote, new energy companies. And we saw that up here in Michigan as well. Our previous governor was insistent on promoting new energy companies. Sometimes these things worked. Most of the time, they didn't end up working out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So with the beginning back with mainly the Energy Policy Act of 2005, the federal government started handing out billions of dollars to almost every type of energy company manageable. This law ended up giving billions of dollars to a lot of renewable companies, and when you hand out free money, people start to act differently. So
yeah, they actually
take more risks.
Yeah, they certainly do. Jordan Lofthaus from the Utah State University think tank, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Yeah, thank you very much.